Thank you, Lord. I have seen the future. Revival is here. I can see the whole world worshiping the Lord. Jesus, like a banner raised up in the sky, every tongue and nation bowing to the King. I can see it. Oh, I can see it. Hallelujah. Can we sing together?
I have seen the future. Revival is here. I can see the whole world worshiping the Lord.
Jesus,
Jesus, like a banner
raised up
in the sky.
Every tongue.
See the whole.
you to close your eyes. And then you just want to say this as a worship song and as a prayer song unto the Lord.
We raise the sound.
It's a song that the Lord has laid on my heart since,
for
I don't know.
He is God and God alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
As a worship. To you for all your goodness and your kindness bestowed towards us, even when we didn't deserve it. Your mercies made us deserve it in Jesus' name. This blessed day, as we commemorate, oh Lord, our International Day, we pray in the name of Jesus for the nations of the world. And we ask, oh Lord, that your fear will engulf every nation under the sun, every continent under the sun, every soul under the sun. Let there be mass salvation. Let there be conviction of the heart of men Let anti-Christ policies and governmental enactment, Lord, be crumbled down in Jesus' name. Let the gospel permeate through membranes that have stopped the advancement of the gospel. And we pray in the name of Jesus, raise up evangelists, oh Lord. Raise up pastors, oh Lord. Raise up prophets, oh Lord. Raise up apostles, oh Lord. Raise up teachers, oh Lord. Raise up men and women that will propagate the gospel. Send men and women to hard to reach places in the name of Jesus. Let people hear of the gospel of Jesus. Let it proliferate in the name of Jesus. We come against obstacles against the word of God. Obstacles against the dissemination of the gospel. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, send out your reaper angels. Father, send out your reaper angels. Lord, send out your reaper angels across the continent of the world in the name of Jesus, that many will come to know you. Lord, we pray for the leaders of nations, policy makers, think tankers, in the name of Jesus, invade them in their dreams, just like you invaded Nebuchadnezzar in his dream, just as you invaded Pharaoh in his dream, just as you invaded Cyrus. Lord, invade them in the name of Jesus, that they will become avenues through whom the gospel will be allowed. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, let your church be lifted up. Bible said, I shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be lifted up above all the hills and above all the mountains, and many shall be drawn into it in the name of Jesus. We ask, oh Lord, elevate your church above every hill. Elevate your church above every mountain. Let the light of your church shine. Let the saltiness of your church be realized. And let souls be saved in the name of Jesus. Let the trumpet not sound when many are not ready. We pray, oh Lord, above all for your church, that your church will be ever ready. Your church will be ever ready. Your church will be ever ready. We pray for the grace not to get ready, but to be ready. Give us the grace to be ready. Bible said that who is that wise and faithful servant? It is he whom when his Lord come, we'll find him doing what he's supposed to do. May we be found not wanting. But may we be found in your rightful plan. Now hold to the Lamb upon the throne. We raise the sound. We raise the sound. I want you to pray a prayer and say, Lord, help me to be ready. Come on, somebody, pray that prayer. Put your hand on your heart. Say, listen, hold on. The return of Jesus and the rapture, of course, before the return of Jesus, the rapture and the return of Jesus is not predicated on the calendar that you know. It is predicated on the calendar of what is happening in Jerusalem, in Israel. Maybe you don't know, but I'm telling you, biblical prophecies and everything. When you read through the Bible, you will see that the return of Jesus, of course, which is preceded by the rapture, is premised or it is founded on whatever will happen in the Middle East. It is not on the calendar that you know, January, February, March, 2024, 2020. That is why when people say that, oh, Jesus will come, it doesn't happen so, because it is not predicated on that. It is predicated on what is happening or what will happen in the Middle East. And when you hear, Bible say that in the midst of wars, when there are wars and then rumors of wars against Jerusalem, then there will be a sudden appearance of the Lord. Everything shows that we are just waiting for the referee to whistle. That is all. It is not like we've started a match, so you know that, oh, we got some time. Now, when you hear all these things that are happening now in Jerusalem, in Israel, it is a calendar for the believer. That is why in Isaiah 33 verse 6, he said that wisdom and knowledge, That is why he said a lack of knowledge, my people will perish. You see, but we are not of them that know not. We are of them that know. I want you to put your hand on your heart. Jesus preached two messages. I've always said it here. He preached repentance so that you can come into the fold. And then those in the fold, he didn't preach repentance because he knows that we have repented. So if you've not repented, that is another story. But those in the fold, he preached, be ready. So it is repent and come into the fold. And when you are now in the fold, be ready. The rapture is not for the people that are outside. It is for the church that will be ready so that the Lord can make way for judgment upon the earth. Anytime there is sin upon anywhere or any place, judgment must come upon them. Otherwise, the immutable laws of God ceases to exist. And that is the reason why the rapture will happen. The Lord will have to take the church out. Bible said that as it happened in the times of Lot, as it happened in the days of Noah, these are two things specifically that Jesus said. He says, so shall it happen in the second coming of the Son of Man. In other words, before Jesus comes, there must be judgment upon the earth for the sins of the earth. But Bible said that we have not been appointed unto wrath. We have not been appointed unto destruction. So before the judgment of the earth, the Lord will have to take his church. But remember, it is not everybody that is called a child of God. It is those that are ready. It is those that are ready that will be raptured. I am so afraid for people that play with their lives and their walk with the Lord as though they know not the times and the seasons. Jesus said, when you lift up your eyes to the cloud, and it is from the east, you are able to say that in the next 1 hour or two, look at the meteorologist. They are able to predict accurately. They will say that it will rain. And sometimes they say for 22 minutes, I'm surprised. Sometimes I decide to time it and it doesn't fail. How come believers cannot walk in wisdom? Bible says that the children of this world are in their own eyes wiser than the children of light. Because they are able to read between the times and the seasons. Brothers and sisters, it will be so painful that after all the times that you have been with the Lord, you miss the rapture. Missing the rapture does not mean that you are going to hell. But to survive, I doubt. Nobody can guarantee. Even now that we are running with men on foot, look at the way it is sometimes difficult. How much more when we are running with people on horseback? It will be difficult. Bible said that in those days, and I've always preached and I've told you when I was doing eschatology, that in those times, when they're after the rapture, there are certain demons that have not been allowed on the earth now. Now, the reason why they've not been allowed is because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. They can't be here because the Holy Spirit is here. They just can't be here. But they are so wicked, they have never appeared. They are terrible and they are so wicked. And Bible says that when the church is raptured, when the saints are taken over, the only reason why the Holy Spirit is upon the earth is because of the church of Jesus Christ. When the church is taken up by the rapture, Bible says that the Holy Ghost will also be raptured. At that time, there is free flow for demons. That is when the abyss will be opened. And in those times when those devils come, brothers and sisters, they will not come as spirits. Today, they are walking around as spirits. Father, help us. Help us. Now they are walking around as spirits. But after the rapture, they will not walk around as spirits. They will come as physical entities. Demons packaged in creatures. That is what the apostle John the Revelator saw. And he said, I saw them. And they had the head of a human being. They have tails like the scorpion. They have feet like the lion. He said, and they have a breastplate, and they have wings like eagles, very terrific. And they have claw, they have jaw, and they have teeth like canine, like zombies, very deadly and very critical and whatever. And Bible said that they were released to destroy. And it is because of the sin of the earth. But we are not supposed to be here. So how do we avoid it? By just being ready. But how can we be ready? Look. Chapter 21 verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape escape all these things. As we were dancing, I was so excited. And I said, Lord, may we not dance in vain. As I cast my eyes and I saw the multitude in the church, those at the overflow, and I saw those online, I said, Lord, may we not worship in vain. May we not worship in vain. Help us to be ready. Maybe somebody, this may be your message for today. I want you to lay your hand on your heart and say, Lord, help me to be ready and to remain ready. Can you not imagine how painful it will be? Now, Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 25, from verse 1 to 10, that they were all virgins. They were 10. 5 were ready, 5 were not ready. And the 5 that were ready went in. They were not unbelievers. That is the most painful part. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, it doesn't mean when the rapture happens and somebody doesn't go, doesn't mean that the person has lost out of salvation. But to survive and maintain it. Because when the rapture happens, you have to pay to maintain that salvation. And it will be difficult. So why don't we remain ready instead of getting ready? Nobody prepares in the exam hall. Everybody prepares in their home and in their classroom before they come. That is why Bible says that the night is far spent. Let him that is naked put on his dress. Let him that is asleep wake up. For the night is far spent. Want you to lay your hand on your heart. Listen, this thing has no title for titles. It has no respect for titles. It has respect for being ready. That is why I never allow a title to deceive me. I always tell myself, Lord, that is why I come to church and I tell the church, I don't come to church as a pastor. I come to church as a child of God. That's why when we are worshiping, I worship. When we are praising, I praise. When we are praying, I pray. I didn't come as Jesus' grandfather. I came as a child. Bowing and saying that, Lord, this is me. You just decided to choose somebody and you chose me. Bible said in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 14, Bible said that, and David danced before the Lord. When I come, I am just as I am. Bible said that the 24 elders, they will always lay their crowns before the Lord. I want you to pray and say, Lord, help me to remain ready. Just one prayer. In the wake of things happening in the Middle East, if there is any news I listen to, it is only what is happening in Middle East. As for all these things that they say about this, that, the world premises on bad news. They sell bad news. The only news I listen to is the news in Middle East, because that is what is going to determine the next thing that is about to happen. I want you to lay your hand on your heart and pray. Lord, help me to be ready and to remain humble. Can you pray that prayer? Pray from your heart. We raise a sound.
We raise a sound.
Now unto him.
Now unto the Lamb upon the throne.
The Lord will be ready.
We raise a sound. For he is God and God alone.
Can you pray one more prayer and say, Lord, have mercy on me. In any way that I've disappointed you, have mercy on me. Grateful. Please bless and bless us. Help us to represent you well. every day of our lives, that we will be part of the wise virgins. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Somebody see me a believing. Amen.
Amen.
Can you put your hands together for the Lord Jesus? Can we take our seat?
We raise a sound. We raise a sound. For He is God and God alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, oh, oh. But church, we got to be ready. We got to be ready. We got to be ready. When I'm in my prayer closet, my heart pants. I look at the way the world is going. And I said, one day Jesus said, He said, when the Son of Man appears, shall He find faith upon the earth? In other words, shall He find people that are ready? The enemy has succeeded in making us too busy. We are too busy to look at what is happening. We are too busy to remember the times and the seasons. But I pray that we will not be caught unawares. Lord, give us grace and help us. Jesus, blessed and mighty name. Amen. Can you put your hands together for the Lord Jesus? Hallelujah. Amen. We want to bless the name of the Lord for today and for the beautiful people in the house of God. Amen. But I will see you on that day at the other side of the table. I'm talking about when we get raptured over there. Yeah. I will see you there. I will be there anyway. I will be there. This is not something that you must not know. You don't go to the airport not knowing where you are going. Who goes to the airport not knowing where they are going? You bought a ticket. Where are you going? I don't know. You must know where you are going. That is why a child of God, there are other people that can say that we don't know where we are going. It is when we depart from here that God will tell us where we are going. It's because they don't even know what they are talking about. But you and I, we know where we are going. And you must be focused on where you are going. One day I was traveling and then whilst I was going, I saw that I had been delayed at the security, not because they held me, but because there was a long line. Boy, oh boy, I had done check-in. I heard my name in the radio all over the airport. Passenger Nikki, my second name is very big. It's gargantuan and it is intimidating to devils. So they were not able to pronounce, but when I heard the name, I knew that they were talking about me. They said, "We are waiting for you at gate 36, whatever." I started running. I saw gate A. I saw gate B. I saw many gates, but I didn't enter there because that is not where I am. That is not where my flight was. Then as I was going, I saw those guys with that cart that they drive. I jumped on. I didn't even ask him. I jumped on Isaac gate 36. He said, I said gate 36, otherwise I lose my flight. Then he swifted and then started heading there. I was the last passenger. When I entered, I was panting. I said, hey. And then the lady said something that touched me. He said, we were going to shut the gate in the next 5 seconds. I said, I made it by the hair of my... Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know the Bible says that as it happened in the days of Noah, and as it happened... Two people. He said, as it happened in the days of Noah, and as it happened in the days of Lot, so shall it happen in the coming of the Son of Man. Please remember, the second coming of Jesus, we will know, but the rapture, we will not know. You got to know these things. The second coming of... Why will we know? Because when we are raptured and we go to be with him, we will come with him. So we know. We know. After the rapture, it will be 7 years. So we know. The Bible has already stipulated. But the rapture of the church is what Bible says we don't know. And that is why we have to be ready. Praise the name of Jesus. I will not preach eschatology now, because I don't want your dancing to be mesmerized. You know, the way we have danced and we are happier now, you are trying to preach a certain message, whatever, whatever. We have these countries represented in Holy Hill Chapel, Tennessee. Number one. Okay, I think they have given me a certain list. So number one, we start with the United States of America. Come on, if you have the flag, hoist it and celebrate. Hallelujah. So they will put a flag. These are not people that have visited. These are members of the church that we know, that are recognized. So United States of America represented here. Hallelujah. We have Ghana represented here. Hallelujah. Do I have some Ghanaians? Make a little shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we have people from the Barbados. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. And then we have people from the Bahamas. I'm not feeling the shout, too. And you told us to be ready. Now you want us to shout. People from St. Vincent. Hallelujah. These are people in the church. Hallelujah. Yeah. I can mention their names anyway. People from Haiti. Yeah. People from South Sudan. People from Zimbabwe. People from Nigeria. You saw the first dance that they were doing here was from the land of Nigeria. Hallelujah. People from United Kingdom. Hallelujah. People from Canada. Hallelujah. People from Burundi. People from Kenya. People from Rwanda. People from South Africa. People from Guyana. Guyana. God bless you. Hallelujah. Yusila and Ko. God bless. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. People from Liberia. People from DR Congo. Hallelujah. People from Jamaica. Previously from the Caribbean, it used to be people from the Bahamas that were leading. Now it is people from Jamaica that is leading in the house. Hallelujah. Yeah. People from Vietnam. Yeah. 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 V and Co. Yeah. People from Benin. God bless you. Yes. You may not know where people are coming from. It is hiding in their bones. people from Togo. God bless you. People from Ethiopia. People from Italy. China. People from China. Hallelujah. No, we don't have North Korea. Yeah. Did I miss any country? Oh, I'm so sorry. Put it in. People from Mexico. Hallelujah. So sorry. I don't know why I missed it. Mexico. Hallelujah. Amen. India. People from India. Hallelujah. God richly bless you. But these are people that are genuinely in this house. I mentioned Uganda. Oh, I didn't mention Uganda. Maybe. No, I have Uganda here. Yeah, I mentioned. Anyway, people from Uganda. Hallelujah. Please make sure you insert all those countries. Hallelujah. Father, we pray for all these countries and many others. You have congregated us together from different backgrounds and from different regions. Let your blessing be upon us in Jesus' mighty and blessed name. Amen. All right, I'm going to preach a very simple, short message in record time. First lady told me, she said, today I know it will be record time message. And I said, I promise you, dear, let's celebrate First Lady, ever shining. Hallelujah. Amen. So, I'm talking about there. There, which is T-H-E-R-E. I'm giving you the title. There, the Lord commanded his blessings. There. There. That means there is a certain place. The Lord commanded his blessings. And my anchor scripture is Psalm 133, 1 to 3. I'll read it quickly. And I'll just go straight to my notes so that I promise to stay in time. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren. And I will tell you to take note of certain words. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And then verse 2 says that, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. Now, I want you to take note that he didn't mention any other person than Aaron. Why did he use Aaron instead? Because Aaron represents sanctity. He represents separation. He represents holiness. He represents, in totality, the fear of God. Okay? Now, so he says that it is like the ointment that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garment. And verse 3 finally says that as the dew of Hermon. Now, why did he use the dew of Hermon? Hermon, the mountain of Hermon is the tallest mountain in the whole of the mountainous range in Israel. Now, even though it is the tallest, it is the one that has most life on it. Now, so as a result of that, when the dew comes upon it, it flows to the other mountains. So it's like it generates life, it produces life for the others that are connected to it. So the Lord is trying to give us, using this metaphor, that there is a certain place that the child of God is supposed to be. And when that child of God is in that place, he said that, for there the Lord commanded the blessings. Now, there is something called, even, and then he said, the demanded blessings of God, and we have the commanded blessings of God. Now, for example, sometimes people will tell you that don't demand respect, command it. There is a difference between demanding respect. Hey, you have to respect me. You are demanding it. But when you command your respect, you organize yourself in such a way that it is given to you without you asking for it. Is somebody understanding me? So a demanded blessing is the kind of blessing which you do things for. But the commanded blessing is an entrusted blessing which you don't work for, but it works for you. Did somebody understand it? So the main difference, that is not the message anyway, but the main difference between demanded blessing and commanded blessing is that with a demanded blessing, you work. You do something. You must push. You must persevere. Let me make it very realistic so that we understand it. It is like somebody working to raise a company and somebody inheriting a company. You see that the two are not the same. Is somebody understanding me? If you are working to raise a company, you got to push. You got to do this, that. But if your child is inheriting that company, the child was just born into it. The child didn't do anything to inherit it. He just opened his eye and he was your son. She was your daughter. And as a result of that, she was born into it, or he was born into it. Is somebody understanding me? So that is the main difference between the commanded blessing and the demanded blessing. But the Lord is saying that there is a place that he wants his children to be. And that place is the place where the commanded blessing of the Lord is. Now, why would the Lord want us to be in the place where the commanded blessing is? Because in the place where the commanded blessing is, that is the place of all comfort. It is the place of all, if you are taking notes, like I said, I'll follow my distance. So it is the place of all comfort. Praise the name of Jesus. God wants his church to be in comfort. He wants us to be in the place of all comfort. Why does God want us to be in the place of all comfort? Because his church is the most valuable entity upon the earth to him. Please listen and listen well. The church of Jesus Christ is the most valuable, most precious commodity upon the earth as far as God is concerned. You know why? Because number one, we are the evidence of the finished works of Christ. The church, when I was teaching the church in the realm of the supernatural, I said that the church is the evidence. You go to buy something in a shop. What is the evidence that you've paid for it? It is the receipt. The church is the receipt of the finished works of Christ. So Jesus came, he finished the works, and then he said, I think in John chapter 19 verse 30, he said, it is finished. What is the evidence that it is finished? It is the birth of the church. So, and that is why I said that, Prophet Julius, that is why I said that the church, the welfare of the church is more important to God than to the church. If you are a tailor, if you are a fashion designer, your work is more important than the person who is using your work. Because it is your work that defines you. It is your work that shows how powerful, how good you are. The difference between the various kinds of products that we buy, they may be the same kind of product. But why do we choose others over another? Because of the evidence, because of the reviews. So the church in comfort is more important to God than the church itself, because we are the evidence of his work. Number two, God bless you. Number two, why does God want the church to be in comfort, which is the place of the commanded blessing? Because the church is his co-worker on the earth. The church is his co-worker on the earth. We are co-laborers with God upon the earth. So God will not work without the church upon the earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 9. He said we are co-laborers with him. If you have a partner and the two of you are raising a log and the log is heavy, you pray that your partner will be strong. Is that right? Hello? Is that right? You pray that your partner will be strong, because if your partner is not strong, you are the only one going to bear the responsibility. God says that we are co-laborers with him. Where? Upon the earth. When God was going to take Israel out of Egypt, he told Moses, he said, I have come now. In Exodus chapter 3, and then verse number 8 and 9, he said, I have heard their prayers and I have come now to deliver them. However, I am going with you to Egypt, because the church is his co-worker. The church is his partner. So the Lord wants us to be in the place of commander blessing, which is the place of all comfort, because we are his co-laborers upon the earth. Number three, very quickly. Why does the Lord want us to be in a place? Did I give you a scripture for the first one, the evidence of Christ's finished works? Acts chapter 20, verse 28. You can write that one there. I want to give you scripture so that in your spare time, you can make reference or when you are reading. The church, the third reason is that the church, why does the Lord want the church to be in comfort? Because the church is his body. It is his body. Ephesians chapter 5 and then verse 30. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30, Bible said that for we are members of his body. Nobody wants part of his body to be in discomfort. If there is a small little boil under your armpit, it is invisible to the public eye. But you will see, Pepe, you will see that that thing is more spicy than number 5. Praise the name of Jesus. So, or let's say you were chopping onions and the knife chopped off your, it didn't chop it off, it just tear this little portion of your finger. It will affect all your head. Do I have witnesses? Do you know that anything, or let's say you were walking and then you hit your leg. It was your leg that you hit it against a stone. But every part of your body will feel it. The reason why the Lord wants his church to be in comfort is because we are his body. And just like you will not want your body to be in discomfort, you will not say that this is my leg, I don't know what is wrong with my leg, let it be sick. No, you will not do that. You want every part of your body to be in comfort, right? So the Lord wants you to be in comfort because we are part, we are his body. And then number four, why does the Lord, of course, you can add Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 to 23. Very powerful scripture. Ephesians 1, he said he has put all things, look at that. He has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. He is the head of the church. The head of the church. He is. So we are the body or the part of the body of Jesus Christ. Praise the name of Jesus. Number four, why does God want us to be in the place of his commanded blessing, which is the place of all comfort? It is because we are his bride. We are the bride. We are the bride of his son. Nobody, when it is wedding time, I've not seen anybody wear wedding except nowadays that you cannot even know what the world, where the world is going. But anybody that is marrying, that bride is adorned. One day I attended a wedding. I knew the lady in a town, in a city called Takoradi in Ghana. Man of God, when I attended the wedding and the lady appeared, for once, for a split second, I couldn't know that it was the lady. I was like, where is, I nearly mentioned her name. Praise the name of Jesus. I couldn't know that she was the one. Do you know why? Because she had been adorned. Hey, whoever invented makeup, we pray for the person that they will make it to heaven. Hey, by the makeup, I couldn't know her. I saw her and I was like, wow, look at this beautiful lady. Who is she? And as she appeared, I saw the way she was walking. It was her walking that made me know that this is Sister so-so and so. Why? Because she had been adorned because she was a bride. The reason why God wants you and I to be comfortable is because we are his bride. And when the bride is disorganized, it is not a shame to only the bride, but also a shame to the groom. And the Lord wants you and I to be in comfort. You see? So when you are in discomfort, it is not by the Lord. And that is why I'm teaching this from my heart. Because there is a place you can come to. There is a place the church can come to where we will walk and live in all comfort. It is called the place of the commanded blessing. Somebody say the place of the commanded blessing. Now, How do we come to this place of the commanded blessing? Because it is a place. Now, please listen that. The place is not a geographical location. If it is a geographical location, then when you are not there, those of us here, probably we may not. But even if the place was a geographical location, it would have been Holy Hill Chapel, Tennessee. Praise the name of Jesus. So there is a place which is not a geographical location. It is a spiritual system which when you raise and you live in, you open the floodgates for all comfort. And the good news is that, ladies and gentlemen, you can carry this place wherever you go. If you are living in the place called the place of all comfort, you can carry it where you go. The Bible says about Joseph. Joseph went down to Egypt. He went to prison. But Bible says that he was with the Lord. There was a presence. There was a place that he was abiding. Praise the blessed name of Jesus. You see, who goes into a place where there is a hospital and the hospital is dysfunctioning? Who goes there? Nobody goes there. Praise the name of Jesus. So we got to raise this place so that we will become the Isaiah chapter 2 verse 2 church. It is only when the church of Jesus Christ comes to the place of all comfort, then we have come to the place of Isaiah chapter 2 verse 2, which says that in the last days, the house of the Lord, the mountain of the Lord, shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above all hills, and all nations shall flow into it. This is why the Lord wants us to live in comfort. By the way, when we talk about comfort, we are talking about healing and health. Please write it. We are talking about what is the place of all comfort. What is the place of commanded blessing? It is the place of healing and sound health. It is the place of all-round peace. Peace is not the absence of issues, but it is the ability to go through issues without the issues turning you around. It is the place of all provisions. The place of comfort. All comfort is the place of all provisions. It is the place of all advancement. It is the place of all spiritual buoyancy. What is spiritual buoyancy? It is your ability to remain with the Lord and to keep yourself with the Lord, growing in the things of God. What is the place of all comfort? It is the place of dominion over the issues of life. It is the place of taking charge. The Lord is bringing his church there in Jesus' blessed and mighty name. So, the question is, how does the church get into this place called the place of commanded blessing? I'll give you two of them. I have four, but I'll give you two of them. Number one, to come into the place of the commanded blessing, which is the place of all comfort, the church must come to the place of fearing God. Hallelujah. The church must come to a place. And please, when I talk of the church, I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about you and I that are members of his body. The church must come to the place of the fear of the Lord. There are many people that love God, but they don't fear him. There's a difference between loving God and fearing him. You can love God. It is easy to love God. But ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to fearing God, now, you see, it is only when you come to the place of fearing God that God can also trust you. We all trust God. That is why we love him. We love him because we trust him. Lord, I love you. I love you. I know you provide for me. I know no matter what happens, you will come through for me. Even if you don't come through for me, Lord, I still love you. We love God. Many people love God, but only few people fear God. Only few people fear God. The place of commanded blessing, which is the place of all-round comfort, is the place of the fear of the Lord. If I give you a definition, a single definition for the fear of the Lord, we will not understand it. So let us break it down and see, what does it mean to fear the Lord? Now, the first thing that I will say under fearing God is that when you fear God, you revere God more than anything. To revere God more than anything, it means that you are aware of his presence with you always. You have a sense of respect for his presence. I'll explain it. If, Kenosha, sometimes you are driving and then you are speeding and then all of a sudden you see the police presence. The police is not stopping you. But what do you do? Why do you slow down? You were speeding. Why do you slow down? Because you are aware of the presence of the police. So the police is not following you, but you slow down. You see, when you revere God, it is not like God is following you, but it is like wherever I am, I know that he is there. I am aware. I am aware. I am very much aware. That is what it means to revere God. Now, that was what Joseph had. And Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 39. And let's read from verse number 7. We read from verse number 7 all the way to verse number 10. And Bible says about Joseph. Bible says, and it came to pass. Start with me from verse number 1. And then we will verse number 1 to 3. And then we will jump to this verse. Bible says Joseph was brought down, you see, to Egypt. Potiphar, an officer, bought him. And Bible says that, and he was brought down thither. Look at verse number 2 and 3. And verse number 2, and the Lord was with him. That is what I want us to understand. How was the Lord with him? He was so conscious. He was so very much aware of the presence of God with him. Now jump to verse number 7 to 10. So watch it. In verse number 7 to 10, Bible says, it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, lie with me. In verse number 8, but he refused. Look at that. He didn't refuse because the woman was not beautiful, or he didn't refuse because he couldn't do it. But he said unto his master's wife, behold, my master does not even know what is with me in this house. And he has committed all things that he has into my hands. But look at the next statement. He said, there is none greater in this house than I. Neither has he kept anything back from me but you, because you are his wife. Now, can we all read the last statement? He said, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against my master? And against Potiphar. But against who? Against who? Do you know that at that time Potiphar had traveled? Potiphar was not there. But how could he avoid the sin that was facing him? Because he was very conscious of the presence of the Lord. To revere God means that you are always conscious of the very presence of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 29. To fear God means that you hold highly his words. When you fear God, you hold highly his words. You don't play with the things that God has said to you. He said, there is none. Give me Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29. He said, oh, that there were such an heart in them that they will fear me and keep all my commandments. So keeping the commandments of the Lord is an indication of we fearing the Lord. Number 3, to fear the Lord means we come to the place of being terrified of losing his working presence. And this is very important to me. Listen, there is the working presence. I've already thought about that. And ladies and gentlemen, many people don't know that they can lose the working presence of God. Let me take a few minutes to explain this. When you lose the working presence of God, it is better you had not even had it before. One of the things that I fear most in life is for somebody to come to a place where the Lord has departed from them and they do not know. When Bible talks about the man Saul in 1 Samuel, can we go to 1 Samuel chapter 16 and then look at verse number 13 and verse number 14. You see, this is one of the things that David knew. Now look at that. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But look at verse 14. But the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit took over. Listen, brothers and sisters. When the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, he was still sitting on the throne. He was not taken from the throne. He was still sitting on the throne. But the working presence of the Lord had departed from him. This is what David knew. So in the book of Psalm 51 and then verse number 10 and 11. When David realized that he had faltered against the Lord, look at the prayer that he prayed. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. When David had made a mistake, Bible said that David did not regret. David repented. The reason why many people don't fear the Lord, and I say it, is because many people do not, ladies and gentlemen, repent. They regret. Look at that. He said, and create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, and cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Because he knew that the working presence of the Lord, without the fear of the Lord, the working presence of the Lord can depart, ladies and gentlemen. He knew it because he had seen it operate in the life of Saul, who he inherited from. I pray in the name of Jesus that the working presence of the Lord will not depart from us. That the working presence of the Lord will continuously be with us. There was a man in the Bible, Judges 16 verse 20, about Samson. And Bible says that, and Delilah said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and he said, I will go out as before times and I will shake myself. Bible said that, but he did not know. Look at that. And he did not know that the Lord was departed from him. Say, Lord, may your presence not depart from me. Praise the name of Jesus. Don't play, ladies and gentlemen, with sin. It is a sinker of destiny. You made a mistake. Don't repeat it. Don't regret it. Repent it. Praise the name of Jesus. I read and I was afraid when Moses, with all that the Lord had done, in Exodus chapter 33, verse 14 to 16, the Lord said, I will go with you. David, Moses was not sure. What do you mean by you will go with me? So in Exodus chapter 33, verse 14, and he said, my presence, look at that, my presence shall go with you and I will give you rest. Verse 15 and 16. And in verse number 15, and he said unto, if your presence does not go with me, carry me not hence. Don't, listen, when the presence of the Lord, the working presence of the Lord is not with somebody, it is like going to battle without any warfare, without any weapon. Yet your enemy has all the weapons. Is somebody understanding me? Yeah. The greatest thing that a believer must be afraid of losing is the presence of the Lord, the working presence of the Lord. And how do we do that? By walking in the fear of the Lord. Now, I give you the second point and I'm done. What is the place of all comfort? It is the place of unity and oneness. When the body of Christ comes to understanding the power of unity and oneness, ladies and gentlemen, we come to the place of all comfort. You know, when Bible was talking, the anchor scripture that we read in Psalm 133, he said, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Oneness. Now, the Lord Jesus told the disciples in Acts chapter 1 and then verse number 4, in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, this is what the Lord said. He said, go, being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Now watch it. Jesus didn't tell them the time. The time for the promise of the Father was dependent on them. And I'm going to show you. Jesus didn't tell them that he will come at this time or he will come at that. It was dependent on them. Now how do I know? So look at this scripture very well. Being assembled, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. Now, what was the time? The time is in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse number 1, just the next chapter. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, what made it fully come? They were all with one accord in one place. Now, do you know something? When Jesus died, there was segregation between the people. That was why. Before Jesus would die, there was segregation. There was, in fact, if you have watched The Chosen and some of those movies, they show certain extras that were not recorded in the Bible. But that being said, there were segregation, there were kind of factions, you know, between them. That is why in John chapter 17, from verse 20 to 23, for four times, Jesus said, look at that, from verse 20 to 23, John 17, 20 to 23. Neither pray I for this alone, but for them also, which I believe. Give me from verse number 19. Look at verse 19. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified through the truth. Now, verse 20. This was the prayer of Jesus for the church. The final prayer that Jesus prayed for the church. He said, neither pray I for this alone, but also for them that shall believe on me through their word, including you and I. He said, that they all may be one. You will not pray for unity if there is unity. That means there was some kind of confusion, division. Now, do you know that it is true? At a certain point, do you remember some of the disciples came to Jesus? In fact, one day, the mother of James and John came to Jesus and said, Jesus, would you let one of my sons sit at your right and one on your left? And Bible said that there was confusion among the disciples. They said, we who were even there before you came, you want to sit at the right, you want to sit at the left. So Jesus, about to leave, prayed and said, for them to come to the place of all comfort, for them to come to the place where they will profess solution, that they all may be one. As you, the Father, you are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. Verse 22. He said, and that the glory which you have given me will be given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Verse 23. Look at that. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. For four times, the prayer of Jesus was unity. Do you know why? Because when there is unity, we come under the commanded blessings of the Lord. When there is no unity and there is division, you see, it is in the church that we see all manner of sections. We see all manner of factions. We see all manner of divisions. Now, some people will say that this is a white church. This is a black church. This is a dark church. Do we have black God and white God? Listen, Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 8 to 10. When we appear in heaven, we'll be like Holy Hill Chapel. I tell you. Look at, he said, when he has taken the book, they read it and then they said, okay, give me verse number. Okay, he said, they fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And what did they say? Look at that. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for you were slain. Now look at that. And you have redeemed us to God. You have redeemed us to God from the boundary by your blood, from the boundary of families, of tongues, of people, and of nations. And what have you made us? And you have made us unto God kings and priests. So I see you, I see a king. I see you, I see a queen. I see you, I see a king. I see you, I see a priest of God. There is neither man, there is neither woman. There is neither black, there is neither white. In the kingdom of God, we have been bought by the blood. And when we come to the place of unity, the devil becomes confused. I said, even in the house, when you are united in the house, the enemy cannot penetrate. That is why if the enemy will be able to enter into your home, he must bring division. He must bring disunity. Where brother is not talking to brother, sister is not talking to sister, friend is not talking to friend. Whenever there is division, ladies and gentlemen, understand that it is like the body that is saying that I don't care what happens to the right hand. You can't live without caring about what happens to your right hand. You can't say that I don't care what happens to my left hand. Every part of your body is important. Redemption has delivered us from all these. Let us not return unto the place of disunity. Let us stay in the place of unity. When we stay in the place of unity, we become givers of direction. The church must give direction. That is why the Bible said that arise and shine. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 to 3. He said, arise and shine, for your light has come. He said, the Gentile, there will be gross darkness over the earth, but upon you, the light of the Lord will shine. And then he said, and the Gentiles will come to your light. The church, when we come to the place of all comfort, we become directional. Why is the church not being directional? Because there is no unity. Because there is no fear of the Lord. Say, Lord, help me to walk in unity. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to pray that, Lord, help me that I will walk in your fear. There is so much blessings in the fear of the Lord. Bible says that the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Psalm 25 verse 14. When you fear the Lord, the secret of the Lord is with you. Saul did not fear the Lord. The Lord withdrew his mercy from him. I want us to pray. Lord, just 2 points. Lord, help me to fear you. And help me to walk in forgiveness that I may live in unity. When ego takes over, you can't live in unity. When unforgiveness fills the heart, you can't live in unity. I want you to pray. Lord, help me. Now, these are the things that would disenfranchise us from comfort. And these are some of the things that will make us not ready when the trumpet sounds. But I want us to pray. I don't know what you heard. I've got many things because I want you to concentrate just on these two. The Lord wants us to stay in a place of all comfort. The place is the place of the fear of the Lord. And it is the place of unity. It is the place of the fear of the Lord. And it is the place of all unity. When we walk in these two, we will walk in comfort. We will walk in healing. There are many people whose sicknesses are as a result of unforgiveness in their heart. I tell you, there are many people, the sickness that they are sickening from is not any devil that is. It is the thing that have choked their heart. That is why Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Many people have lost their way to advance because there are people that the Lord will bring your way that will open the door for you. But there are issues. I want us to pray. Lord, help me to walk in your fear. 2 things. And help me to walk in unity. You can't walk in unity without loving the brethren. To walk in love and in unity. To look for the welfare of others. To value the input of others in my life. Lift up your prayer. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we are very grateful. On this blessed day, we want to live in unity. Just like we see. And Lord, we also want to live a sanctified life. A life of fearing you. With or without the presence of others. That just like Joseph said, we will be revering your very presence. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Now, as we close our eyes, maybe you are here. You don't have a relationship with Jesus. We always give this opportunity. It all starts with a relationship with the Lord Jesus. I want to pray and you want to say that, Lord, I want to start afresh with you. I want to have a relationship with you. If you are there like that, I want you to lift up your hand and I'll pray with you. The Lord, I want to start afresh with you. I want to walk in your fear. I want to walk in unity. It comes by decision, conscious decision, and the grace of God. These two will help you. So as you desire to walk with the Lord, as you desire to commit to the Lord, as you desire to start afresh with the Lord, you want to lift up your hand and I'll pray with you. The Lord, I want to start all over with you. For the sake of the multitude online, I want us to pray this prayer. Say, dear Lord Jesus, with my heart, I believe you came to die to pay the price of my sins. With my mouth, I confess that Jesus is Lord over my life. From today, my life is for you. Lead as I follow. Thank you for salvation. Amen. Father, we thank you for this great salvation. Bless your people in Jesus' name. Establish us in you And above all, Lord, give us the grace to remain ready for you. To remain ready for you. Jesus' blessed and mighty name. Amen. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. God bless you for coming for our international service today. We have it once a year. And the good news is that anytime we have an international service, I've watched it over the years. Anytime we have an international service right afterwards, there is a major outbreak of blessings. I've seen it. If you like, check over the years. And so from this week, I want you to be in a state of expectation of divine visitation. There will be financial blessings. Yeah. When the choir was singing, I saw it was like many wedding gowns being placed upon them. Yeah. I was so excited. There are many blessings that are coming. And it's starting from now. I pray that every blessing with your name on it will locate you. And every blessing that the enemy has stopped, the door will be opened. And anything that is choking or stopping that blessing is removed in Jesus' name. Go and enjoy it. Go and celebrate it in Jesus' blessed and mighty name. Amen. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Now, God bless you. We have had Prophet Perry Apau Emmanuel all the way from Ghana, Prevailing Moment family. All the way, I've been here for the past 2 weeks with us and was amazing on Friday, but they'll be leaving tomorrow. All the way from, don't worry, he'll be coming back again to visit us. Amen. With a beautiful wife, Lady Pastor Priscilla. Hallelujah. We celebrate, we pray that God will take you safely. Amen. So this week, my son is also in the house. Prophet Julius, come on, stand up and give us a wave. Hallelujah. And from Wednesday, we will be having three days of prophetic prayers and fasting. Put yourself together. Okay, 3 days of prophetic prayers and fasting. You can start from tomorrow because some will start from tomorrow all the way to the... But don't miss out. And then come 7 p.m. every evening. Wednesday, 7 p.m. Thursday, 7 p.m. And Friday, which is our night of supernatural encounter, 7 p.m. And it's going to be awesome. Hallelujah. And we'll continue through even to Sunday as well. And so I want you to prepare yourself and let's come in with fasting, you know, seeking the mercy of the Lord. And then we will now connect into what God is saying. Praise the name of Jesus. The Lord bless you. If today is your first time, can I see your hand up? Today is your first time. You've never been here. Somebody invited you. You came through any of our advertising, whatever. Let me see your hand up. All right. Today's your first time. Wow. Wow. Is it okay if I shake hands with you? Can I shake hands with you? Please, can you help them? Wow. This is beautiful. If you can come, I will appreciate it. Yes. Wow. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Oh. The beautiful woman of God. Let's celebrate that. Come on. Hallelujah. Wow. Wow. What's your name?
Gloria.
Gloria, invited by?
My daughter.
Tiffany. Wow. You look like a 40-year-old girl. Hallelujah. Glory be to you. That's what happens when the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you, Gloria. And you are?
Israel Baraka.
Israel Baraka, invited by
Kelly Cook.
Kelly, hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus over there. Sister Gloria and brother Israel, the Lord bless you. Now, right after service, I'll see you in my conference room for just some couple of minutes. Okay, God bless you. Let's celebrate them as they take their seat. Glory be to Jesus. Now, I want you to lift up an offering unto the Lord. There is so much to eat. Now, you see that the Dorcas team have already taken their position there. So right after service, after one or two meetings, I want you to walk there. I don't know how they are going to do it, but it's going to be so powerful. I was watching their platform. They have Caribbean cuisine. They have African cuisine. They have Chinese cuisine. They have American cuisine. They have Holy Hill cuisine. Every cuisine. Hallelujah. But I want you to lift up an offering unto the Lord in the mighty name. So how many countries did you update the countries? Please look on the board. We have the giving portal on there. The Lord bless you for your faithfulness and your commitment to the advancement of Holy Hill Chapel, Tennessee. You see that when we were dancing, the place was just not enough for us. The Lord told me, he said that there are many people that must come in. But when the place changes, they will come. And so I want to encourage you, not only in your giving, as you are driving around, walking around, you when you spot a place like a warehouse or like an old big structure, I want you to call me or text me with the address. If I get there and the Lord is speaking concerning the place, I will immediately know. You see? Yes, so I want you to do that. I want you to do that. I know what the Lord has showed, you know, and the confirmations and all that. So as you are driving around, Bible said that watch and pray. Don't only pray. Please watch. Maybe the Lord will show you and then you will tell me and then we will take it out from there. So as you are driving, be on the watch out. Some of you have the privilege of diving through the internet to locate certain whatever. Use it for the advancement of the kingdom. And then the Lord blesses you. Your tax return come, break it and give God some for the land. You just write on it for the land. It goes straight into a certain separate account for the land. And so I want you to do that. And then the Lord will bless whatever he wants to do. Remember, anything that the Lord wants to do, he will do it with us. Amen. So I want you to lift up an offering unto the Lord. You can use Tithely. You can use PayPal, Zelle, Cash App, Apple Pay, your tithe, your offering, your seed. Please lift it up. I want you to know that we are so grateful that you have trusted your seed with the soil of Holy Hill Chapel. And I know, just like you know, that it is a fertile soil. And every seed that goes in will surely grow. Father, bless our seed and let it deliver a bumper harvest. Let our harvest never cease. In Jesus' blessed and mighty name, amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. Please drop it in. The Lord bless you. The Lord favor you. The Lord empower you. The Lord strengthen you. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, this Sunday, I'll be talking about the communion. Yeah, it is a very, very important topic that I want you to be part and parcel of to hear. The power of the communion. What is the communion? Why did Jesus institute it? Many people don't know much about it. But Bible says that by knowledge, Isaiah chapter 33 verse 6, he said, by wisdom and knowledge, we will be stable. And so the communion is very powerful, but it's only when we know what it is and we know what it becomes and the benefit of it that we will be blessed by it. So you take it. The only thing that stops anybody from taking the communion is when you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Because how can you take medicine when you don't even know what the medicine doesn't comply with your system? You can't take it. But apart from that, everybody that is called a child of God. The communion is not a denominational thing. It is not a religious thing. It is medicine for the body of Christ. It is medicine. And please, for there are people who, I was reading a certain article and then I came across something. Listen, the communion is our medicine. And that is why every child of God must always be taking communion. Because you take it when you need healing. And you take it to maintain your healing. Hallelujah. Bible said that Jesus took the bread and blessed it. And when he had broken it, he said, it is my body. And then he took the cup and he also blessed it. And Paul said, that which I received from Jesus is the same that I deliver to you. We bless the bread and we break it. We call it the body of Christ. We bless the cup, we receive it as the blood of Jesus. Not as the symbol, but the very body and the very blood. Let's eat it together and drink together. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Shall we be on our feet? I want to welcome First Lady to come and pray for us. Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you for your word. As you have taught us about unity, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, this week and beyond, as we continue to walk in unity, and as we adhere to your prayer and your words, that we will continue to be one, let your commanded blessings rest on us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let your commanded blessing rest in our family in Jesus' name. Let your commanded blessings rest upon our generations in Jesus' name. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Let unity, Father, be in people's homes, even in their backgrounds. People who are having this unity with their parents, we speak unity in Jesus' name. People who are having this unity with their children, grandchildren, we speak unity in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ, this week and beyond, any spirit of disunity which is causing people to be against each other, cursing each other, causing pain in people's life, we declare it ceases now in Jesus' name. And now, as we are going as victorious Christians. We will go with our testimonies full, and we will come with full of testimonies to the glory of the Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And now let's share the grace of God together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us now and forevermore. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. And let's take our prophetic declaration with long life, full of prosperity and sound health. Shall you satisfy me and my household all the days of our lives? Amen.